Good morning. It's already been good to be here, ain't it? Just, I appreciate the Lord. All right, if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be picking back up in verse number 10 where we left off, but all right, verse number 7 is where we'll start the reading. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We'll stop the reading right there just for a few moments anyway. But verse number 7 we looked at last week, there's an expectation upon every believer to love one another. The Bible's real plain that if we're going to accomplish anything in this Christian life, it has to be through love.
Yes.
We've got to love. You can go try all day to win a sinner through your frustration, through nagging, through all those things. But guess what will happen? They'll harden their hearts.
Right.
You can't do it that way. Brother Rick, we just can't go beat on them until they listen. It just will never work. But you go and you don't say but a few words, maybe. And then when God impresses you real heavily, you say some more words, and you just continue to love on them, guess what that'll do?
Yes.
It'll bring them to the place they need to be to get born again. God will use you. And we'll get more into that here in a little bit. But there is an expectation that we love folks. And then verse 8 we saw that, man, if you see somebody who's empty of love, then they're empty of God. You can't be loveless and be full of God. That just, it don't work. If you've got God on the inside, you've got love on the inside. That's part of it. He puts that in there. We'll get more into that again today. But in verse number 9, we see that how God chose to express his love. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. It was made clear to us. He chose to express it by sending his only begotten Son. You see, if you miss his Son, you miss his love.
Right.
See, that's how he gives his love, Dustin. It's all, he channeled it through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to be loved by God, well, he already did it. And he did it through Christ.
Yes, sir.
And so if you want in on the love of God, you know what you got to get in on? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, that's everything that we're about here, everything we are, everything we have is wrapped up in one person.
Right.
And it is Christ Jesus. And so if you're without Christ, you're outside of the love of God.
Yep.
That doesn't mean God didn't love you. He did demonstrate his love to you. He showed it, put it on display for the whole world. For God so loved the world, generally.
Yep.
But in order to get in on that, Brother Adam, you have to express faith in his Son.
Right.
You ought to place faith in his Son. And then you become in the love of God.
Yes.
You see, Christ is God's love demonstrated to mankind. And so I hope you want in on that today.
Right.
I hope you are in. I hope everybody here is already in on that today. But if you're not, it's already been testified this morning. You can be.
Yep.
Folks, if a Muslim and a Catholic can get in, you can too.
Hey,
we're no different. Just sinners. We're all sinners. We might have different names as sinners. Some are named Catholics. Some are named Muslims. Some are named Baptists. Some are Jehovah's Witnesses. Some are Mormons, ain't they, Brother Adam? Hey, they're all different forms. Some of them don't even name any names.
Right, brother.
They're just sinners. But you can get in on the love of God.
Yes.
But you get in on that through Christ Jesus. And so we see his expression of love. That's what he did. That's how he chose to express his love, was through giving his only begotten Son into the world, died for the world, so that the world could be saved. So it says that we might live through him. If you have life today, you have it through one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ, you're a walking dead person. Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins. You might have a body that has some breath in it, has a heartbeat, but you're dead if you're not saved, if you're not in Christ. But that's how God expressed his love, was through Christ. And so that's what we'll pick back up verse 10 today. It says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He said, so here's his, we just told you how he expressed his love. But he says, here's the example of love. He says, herein is love. Let me show you what love is. Herein is love. But then he says, Brother Kim, he says, not that we loved God. You see, that's not the love that God's demonstrating. His love is not a love that comes, Brother Chris, after we love him first. He says, herein is love, not that we love God.
Yes.
See, it wasn't about us loving him, but that he loved us.
Amen.
Folks, that's real love.
Yes.
It was a love that he put out there on display for you and I, whether you and I ever reciprocated anything back or not.
That's it.
See, that's real love. That's sacrificial, Brother Kristen. That's saying, I'm going out on a limb to love you, and you may hate me, but I'm going to love you anyway.
Yes.
You know what that is? That what that looks like in a marriage is when you've got a spouse that's against you, and you love them anyway. When you got children that disobey and they rebel, and you love them anyway. When you got co-workers that don't agree with you and they don't like you, and you love them anyway.
Yes.
That's what love is. That's what God's love is. It does not expect love in return. If you've been on this way for a while and you've loved several folks, you've found quickly that not everyone is going to reciprocate love.
Yeah, brother.
Brother Kevin, I love you and I believe you love me.
Yep.
But there's people that I've loved on.
Yep, me too.
And they don't like me.
Right.
They didn't like the fact that, I don't know about you, but I've only got one kind of love to give, Brother Nathaniel. Now, I mean, yeah, we can help people's needs physically, but the only way I really know how to love somebody is to love them like Jesus loved me. And you know how we really love folks?
Yes.
We tell them how God loved them.
Right.
We tell them how God changed our lives, what a difference he made in our lives. And we explain that to them and tell them we love them. And because I love you, I'm willing to tell you the truth.
Yes.
And sometimes you become somebody's enemy because you tell them the truth.
I'll guarantee that's right.
Sometimes your family won't like you
right.
when you tell them the truth.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Joey, is Joey here today? How many of you have heard Joey testify how it's hard to talk to his family? Anybody in here? Now, we don't, a lot of us, you know, Joey's a little braver than some of us. We don't talk about that. But, you know, we've got family, brothers, sisters. I mean, thankfully, my immediate family's all here. And about all of them claim to be saved. So, I'm thankful for that. But I've got cousins, aunts, uncles. How easy is it to talk to them about the Lord? Not so easy sometimes, is it? Because you don't, you know, I mean, we don't want to, Brother Kristen, you know what we don't want to do? We're afraid we're going to step on somebody's toes. That's what we're afraid of. They're not going to like me no more. Well, I'd rather somebody not like me and go to heaven knowing that I love them, whether they like me or not, than for me to just be good to them, Brother Delmer, all the time and never tell them about the Lord.
Yes.
That's just the reality of it. That don't make it easy. It's not easy in the way that we live our lives to put a barrier between you and your family. But sometimes to love somebody means that you may have to do that.
That's right.
But now, it's not that you're trying to separate you from them. You're trying to bring them in.
Yep.
But we understand that Christ is an offense to some people.
That's what he said, brother.
Made that real clear. So it should be no surprise when we love on folks through Christ that they sometimes get offended. But he's our example of love. If we're going to love, we've got to love through Christ. It is a sacrificial love given in spite of the reaction that we get. And if you want to know how to love, you know where you look? You look at Christ. You look at how God demonstrated his love. It was through Christ. And he makes it clear, we did not love him. Now, there's people today that never been born again, never trusted Christ, and they'll say, oh, I love God. I pray, right? I go to church. Folks, you can't love God apart from Christ.
That's right.
It just don't work. It comes through him. And so this is the greatest example that God sent his son. I said this last week, it took his own act of love to satisfy his own demands of holiness.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? God's demands of holiness is so high that apart from meeting that bar, Kristen, we're under his wrath.
That's right.
And the last time I checked, I don't know anybody apart from Christ that's ever reached that bar of holiness.
That's right.
And so we're all concluded, it's concluded that we're all under sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no question about it. Everybody here is guilty before God. And we have no hope. And so God saw that, and so his holiness was so high that he said, in order for them people to have any hope, they're going to have something else. And so we made a way through his love. And that only act of love that would work was through his son. He sent his only son, his only begotten son, so that we could be saved. So we're all directly under the wrath of God due to his holy nature. Sin requires punishment, and that punishment is death, and it's eternal death.
Right.
Not just a short time. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him.
Yep.
You say, well, I'm not that bad. Well, if you're unbelieving, the wrath of God is abiding on you. And that means if you're unbelieving in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Yep.
Ephesians 2:3, by nature we are the children of wrath, even as others. Is it clear? And if that's not clear enough, you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, Colossians 3:6, tell us that the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Folks, we're under naturally.
Yes.
Just by being, you're under the wrath of God.
That's right, brother.
You can't help it. I can't help it. There's only one that can help it.
Oh,
and that's
yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank
that's
God.
The only help we have. He's our only hope. And so it was through his love that we have hope. So without God's love, we would all still be under God's wrath. This is why Christ had to be our, what's the word that he uses? Propitiation.
Yes.
Propitiation. You say, well, that's a big word. Well, Kevin preached about it a while back, didn't you? And the Bible teaches us this word, and it's very important we understand it. If you look that word up, Webster 1828, Webster said this. Said it is the act of appeasing wrath,
yes,
and conciliating the favor of an offended person.
Right.
Well, who was the offender?
Us. Yes.
You, me.
Amen.
Who was the offended person?
God.
God's the offended person. So I've offended and you've offended a holy God. And so, we're under his wrath.
Right.
And so, in order to get outside of that, God made a way.
Thank you.
Through the propitiation that he set forth, which was his son.
Thank the Lord.
So, that's the only means that you have of appeasing the wrath of God.
It abides on you. You can't get out from it. It's like in the old movie, Eeyore had that little cloud, and no matter where he went, right, it just followed him. That's what you are. You can't go anywhere and get out from under the wrath of God unless you get in Christ.
Yes.
And he's like a shield between you and that cloud of judgment. He takes you out of that. He hides you. You get out of it.
Yeah.
Shelters you from that wrath. He takes it for you.
Yeah.
He steps between you and the wrath that's coming down.
God.
You know when he did that? He did it at Calvary.
Yeah.
That's when he did it. He stepped into mine and your place. Took mine and your place as our propitiation.
You,
man, what a doctrine.
That's good.
What a blessing. You can't. I don't know about you, but I can't help but read this and not get excited and get thankful that Christ stepped in. But it wasn't just that Christ stepped in. His Father put him in that.
Yes,
man, that's a great. I don't know about you, but it's one thing for somebody to step in.
Hallelujah.
But it would be something totally different for me to take my son and say, he's going to step in for you. And take it. I don't know about you, but I don't think I could do that for somebody else. I don't know that I could give my son for you. But he gave his for me. It says in theology, if you look this up, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and to render him propitious. That means renders God propitious. That's what it says. That means willing to give grace and mercy. That's what that word means. He becomes willing because of what Christ did to sinners. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men.
Right.
If you want God's wrath not to abide on you, you better run to Christ.
Yes.
He's your only hope. He's your only means. And 1 John 2:2, we've looked at this before. We've dealt with all this. It says that, and he is the propitiation for our sins.
Well, I like that next part.
But he says, and not for ours only,
but
also for the sins of what? The whole world. That includes everybody. That's real easily understood, ain't it? So you know what, Brother Wayne? He's the propitiation for your sins. But it don't stop at you, Brother Steve, Brother Matt, Kagan, Brother Kevin, all the way across the aisle. There's nobody that's exempt. He's the propitiation for my sins and your sins. John, he's done it all for us. It was all his act of love that made this possible. What an example of love to take a bunch of people that were against him. We were enemies. We were children of disobedience, children of wrath. My goodness, we'd sinned against God, had nothing to offer. But he said, I'm going to love them anyway.
Yes.
And I'm going to love them in such a way that they can never say that I didn't love them. No, there's no chance you can look at Calvary and say God does not love you. He did it in such a way that anybody that looks at that and understands what that stands for would say, there's no doubt God loved me. Man, that centurion that came up there and looked at Christ, what did he say? Surely, surely, this is him. Man, I've seen it with my eyes. I can't help but behold this and know this is right. And if you ever see it through the eyes of faith, you know that it's right. And there's no better deal out there. It's a deal where you bring nothing and he provides everything. He just says, come. So if you want to escape God's wrath, you've got to recognize God's love. Right? It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. So, I mean, that's what happens. You got to recognize God's goodness. And where do we see that? We see it in the Son. That's where we see it. So aren't you thankful for the example of love that God made? It's because of his love that we can claim some precious promises in Scripture. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You notice that we shall be?
Well,
I like being able to get in on that. We.
Amen.
And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, right? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want in the we and you want to be part of the us, you've got to get in the Lord Jesus.
Right.
That's how it comes. So the perfect example of love, God gave us everything when we had nothing to offer Him. What a beautiful picture. But Dustin, it wasn't that we were just zeros. We wasn't just zeros having nothing to offer. But according to the Scripture, we owed a debt. We were in the hole. We were less than zero.
Right. Negative, brother. Yes.
And you know, in order to get back to the positive, and if you've got a negative and you've got a positive and you add them together, what has to happen?
Oh, brother.
The positive has to way outweigh the negative.
Yes.
In order to get you up above.
Right.
And so, where sin did abound,
yes,
what? Grace did much more abound. So we didn't just cross from zero to, you know, you could say we're positive by going from a negative one to a zero or point zero 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 one. Y'all are saying, what's he talking about? Say a millionth. That would be positive.
Sure.
But it didn't say that we just crossed over.
No,
he said it much more,
yes,
abound. So you just take grace and put it on there, and you put times 10 to the whatever power, and that's what we've got.
Yes.
In fact, Miss Tressa, what if we just said times 10 to the infinity?
Oh, brother.
That'd work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's boundless. It's limitless. That's how positive Calvary is.
That's right.
It takes somebody who was less than nothing.
Praise God.
And puts them in somebody who's everything. And so you go from a negative to as positive as it comes. I don't know what that is, right? Numbers just keep going. See, I can't even put... there's no words to put to it. Y'all are like, man, he's crazy. But
that's right.
Miss Tress is giving me a thumbs up back there. Hey, if you ever know what I'm talking about, what if I said the term, it's exponential?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I'm starting to get fired up as an engineer here.
Yeah.
Using these terms. My goodness. I'm glad I understand a little bit about math.
Go ahead.
It helps me sometimes.
Yeah.
I understand. God is exponential.
Yeah, brother. You better believe.
You see, you get saved and you're on this little... The line starts increasing, but as you learn more and more, man, it just gets exponentially good.
Yes.
The line goes from sort of sloping, it just shoots straight up.
Yeah.
And one of these days, we are going to shoot straight up. We're getting out of here one of these days.
Yes.
So I hope y'all are understanding or picking up what I'm putting down, but it's good up here.
Yep.
I'm thankful that He's the propitiation for my sins, but He's not just for mine, He's for yours too. You can have just what I've got in my heart right now, and I'm thankful for it. Boy, it's good to be saved. It's good to know that I'm right with God, but not on my account. I mean, not because I did anything, but it's because He demonstrated His love through Calvary. It's because of the Christ at Calvary. You want to get right with God? You can today, but it'll come through Christ. And He made it possible. So what an example of love that we have. And he goes on in verse number 11. He says, Beloved, if God so loved us. He said, if He loved us like that. That's what that word so means. If God so loved us. Everything past that I've already said. If God so loved us. If He loved us like what I just described. Then he says, we ought also to love one another.
Yes, brother.
So what he's teaching us is that we ought to exemplify the love that he's put on the inside of us. He's our example, and we are to live exemplary lives,
right,
to exemplify what he's put on the inside.
Yes.
Folks,
yes,
we are to look like him. He's given us the perfect example of love. And you know what you should do with it? You should dish it out everywhere you have the opportunity. You ought to be that example. If you've seen God's expression of love and His example of love, we ought to be motivated to demonstrate it to others. And, you know, oftentimes we take that word ought in our language today so lightly. Brother, I mean, I use Brother Kevin all the time because he sits up here. But I could say, Brother Kevin, you ought to come over tonight. You ought to go with me hunting.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way we use that word today. Y'all do this, y'all do that. And then we walk away and we think nothing about it.
Right.
Is that what it means in the Scripture?
No, brother.
It's not what the Scripture tells us. When it says, so ought we also to love one another, what he's saying is, you are held to it. You are bound in duty, in moral obligation. It is a necessary thing for a saint of God who's experienced the love of God that we give that out everywhere we have the chance. It's expedient, Brother Matt, that you love people. We ought also to love one another.
Yes.
It's expected. I already said that. We are to do it. And if you've been so enlightened to God's love, if you've ever tasted that God is good, that He's gracious, that He's merciful, that He's loving, He's kind, how can you not tell that to people? How can you have something so great?
Go ahead.
If what you have is so good, can I say it that way?
Yeah, brother.
How many in here would raise your hand and say that I have the best thing there is?
Right. Without question.
Right? If you're saved,
yeah.
You ought to be. Really, really, I mean, I'm amazed that hands went up that slowly.
Right.
Did I ask that question wrong?
No, you didn't.
How many of you in here believe you have the best thing that there is?
Yeah.
That's better. So if we believe that,
right.
Man, Kevin,
yes.
If I have the best turkey call, and every time I go out,
yep.
It works.
Yep.
Every time I scratch that pot thing, and it goes, and them turkeys gobble and come running every time. You know what I'm going to do to Kevin?
Yep.
I'm going to say, Kevin, goodness gracious.
Right,
come here, brother. Come here. Come here.
Yeah.
Come over here. Let me show you this.
Yep.
Come out here.
Yep.
I'm going to take him out in the woods with me. I'm going to say, you don't have to do nothing. All you do, you stand right there. Get your gun ready. All right, get your gun ready. I'm gonna get that collar. I'm gonna scratch that thing, and you know what's gonna happen? That turkey's gonna gobble, and it's gonna come running. And he's gonna shoot it.
Right.
And it works every time. You know what we can say about what we have?
Yep.
I can say, brother, come here.
Yeah.
This is what I've got.
Thank
you know
God.
What it does? It works every time.
Every
person that ever gets a hold of what I've got.
Yep.
You know what happens? It changes them for all eternity.
That's
it.
Right.
It works every time.
That's
And Jerry, that's right, ain't it?
Yes.
Have you ever seen somebody who really got a hold of God and it didn't work?
What?
You'll never hear my dad get up here and testify how it didn't work, how it didn't shorten his hair, how it didn't clean up his talk.
Right.
I'll never tell you it didn't work on me. Man, yeah, there's been some times that I've messed up, but every time I have, he said, that won't work. You can't live that way. I've got what you've got on the inside is so much better. You've got to come out of that.
Yes.
Folks, it works. I don't know how to explain it. If what you've got does not work, if it's not the best thing, if what you have you don't think is the best, just shut up about it.
Right. Yeah.
Don't tell nobody about what you got.
Right.
The world does not need something that is not the best.
Yes.
I understand not everybody here is on the same plane. We're not all the time on cloud nine walking through this life. I understand that. But there ought to be something on the something ought to be on the inside, Brother Dustin, that when we start telling about it,
amen.
That it just swells. I mean, folks, it's a fountain on the inside of living water. Goodness. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of water.
Yeah.
That don't sound like a little trickle, does it?
No, brother.
It's rivers. Folks, we ought to exemplify. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We are to be the example of what this world sees of love of God. You want to love somebody, you go love them, you meet their needs.
Yep.
In fact, the Scripture teaches we need to meet their physical needs.
Right.
It's plain, right?
Yep.
You see somebody in need, you need to help them. Hard to minister for somebody that has a spiritual need if you're not willing to help them with their physical need, too.
Right.
It is. Scripture's plain about that, but we're to exemplify the love. And I couldn't help but think about them lepers over in 2 Kings 7.
Oh, brother.
You know, they got over there and they found the Syrian camp was empty, Dustin. They were gone. And they left all the goods behind.
Yep.
And these four lepers were outcasts. They couldn't be around nobody. And so they were out there walking around and they walked up to the camp. They was needing some help is what they was needing.
Yeah.
And they got over there searching. And Brother Rick, they found greater, so much greater than what they were ever dreaming of, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just looking for a little sustenance, a little help. Just a little bit. But man, they found everything.
Right.
And they got to looking at it, and it didn't take them just a minute. And they looked at each other and said, "We do not well."
Yes.
So we can't have something so great and not share it with others.
Right.
Brother Doug, if what you got's great, you know what you'll be doing with it? You'll be sharing it with others. You can't have salvation on the inside and it be real and you just bottle it up and never do nothing with it.
Right.
Ask that woman at the well.
Yes.
She didn't just stand there at the well and say, "Well, thank you, I appreciate it.
Right.
It's good, I'll see you later." She just took off. The Bible says she left her water pot. She went into the town, and she just said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She started sharing what she had. She found the best thing she'd ever found.
Yeah, brother.
She said, "It's the Christ. This is the one I've heard about.
It's Him.
This is Him." Does your conversation ever sound like that to others?
Oh, brother.
Do you ever approach people with Christ to offer? I mean, that's what you've got to offer. Dustin, I have nothing else to offer. I don't have anything of myself to offer. Well, I've already established I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I'm less than zero apart from Christ. But what I have is everything. And I've got it to give. Now, obviously, I can't touch somebody and then take it. And I can't force feed them, Kevin. I can't do none of that. But I've got plenty to offer.
Yes.
You got Jesus. You got plenty. You take Jesus to them. All I know, you say, "Well, that's not your job." Well, the Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come."
Yes.
Proverbs 11:30, "He that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
That's all I know. I'm supposed to go tell people about Him. I'm not responsible for the outcome of it. But I am responsible for my example of it. How I exemplify His love to others is of the utmost importance. Brother Delmer, it's important, ain't it, that we live like Christ told us to live.
Yes.
And that we love like He told us to love. Very important. Where are we at on time today?
Good time, praise God.
But His love, folks, it was given to all, and it's expected that every one of us go and share it.
Yep.
How do you share it? How do you share what we have, Brother Creston? We share it through declaration, and we can share it through demonstration.
Yes, brother.
And they might hear your declaration, but you can rest assured they will definitely every time see it through your demonstration.
Yes. Yes, brother.
That's the way we're supposed to do it, ain't we? We're supposed to live like Him. I said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they look so much like Him. Boy, it said, was it Peter and John over there? It says they took knowledge that they had been with Him, been with Jesus. Why is that? There was something so different about them because of the time spent with Christ. And you spend some time with Christ in His Word and in prayer, and guess what will happen to you? People see that love that, because every time, this is, you've probably heard it all your life, this is mine and your love letter from God.
Right.
This is how I learn about the love of God toward
yes.
me. And you can't help, Brother Jerry, but you go read this thing.
Amen.
You spend some time in it, and the Holy Ghost starts squeezing on the heart and reminding you of what He's done for you. You can't help but take that and give that to other people. And that's expected of every one of us. Every one of us. And so if you're here today, and all of us, don't take this wrong. I'm not good at this at all. It's easy for me, Dustin, to stand up here and teach this. Well, it's not easy. I shouldn't say it's easy. It's not easy. But it's easy for me to stand up here and read these verses and say a few things about them. But when I step out them doors, Dustin, then it's then it's expected of me not just to teach them. We're not to just be hearers only, but doers of the word. And so I've took it off of me and I've put it on you. And you've heard, unless you stopped your ears, they did that in the Bible. We talked about that a while back. Now it's your responsibility to go do it. It's my responsibility to do it.
Brother.
I think it's time. It's got to be time, don't it? Where's everybody at? Oh, well, I'm early. I'm not starting the next section. We'll be here. We'll be here till 11 o'clock if I start the next portion. But I've got it ready to start, but we're not going to. I appreciate everybody's good attention. I appreciate the Lord helping me.
Yes.
And if he didn't help you, I don't know what to tell you. The Lord's good. He's good. I appreciate him showing up and helping us like he does. We'll have prayer. Why don't y'all, you might want to just wait, you know, not take off down through the hallways just yet. Give them another 2 or 3 minutes so that they get loose, because I think we've got a Sunday school still down there in the fellowship hall, right? So everybody just take a couple minutes in here to fellowship before you head down that way.